Today is the fourth Sunday in the season of Epiphany, and so I'm also preaching today the fourth sermon in my current sermon series, The Beginnings of the Good News. We've been looking together at the first chapter of Mark's Gospel over these past several weeks, and we've been following together in a kind of reading experiment of sorts. As we've been reading through, we've been entertaining a possibility. What if we really took seriously Mark's claim at the head of this gospel that what this book is about to present us with isn't just a historical record of the life and times of Jesus, isn't just one more story among many to remember, but really, at its core, an account of how the gospel has come into the world and gotten on the move? That's a powerful and a profitable lens through which to approach this gospel, I think, because it means that there may be a whole lot more to take away from what we're reading here than what meets the ear at first. It means that what we're reading may not be merely descriptive, but also programmatic for us as well. And if we think about what we're reading this way, if we are able to hear it and recognize its claim on us, then I want you to know the Holy Spirit is working on us to remind us that we too are becoming involved in a thing that God wants to do in this world. The beginning of Mark's gospel might be more like a news cycle than a history book when seen through these kind of eyes. Imagine if the good news sucked up all the oxygen and drowned out all the bad. Imagine if this good news was capturing hearts and attention the way bad news captures our fascination. Because if it's good news and not just ancient history, we can all open up our doors and go outside and get involved in its work today, rather than close the cover on our Bibles when we're done reading and consign that work to another day. What I want you to recognize is that what we're reading in Mark is very much good news still on the move. It's just the beginning, as it says. There is a profound optimism in this gospel because living, breathing good news is taking recognizable form and gaining some speed and some momentum. Optimism. Couldn't we all use some optimism right about now? The gospel of Jesus Christ, Mark reminds us, is optimism. It is optimism. What we've been reading is that because of God in Christ and Christ in the world, things are looking up, church. Things are looking up because there's an invitation here to pull us out of our loneliness and into deep fellowship. Things are looking up because there's an offer of profound sacramental belonging here to pull us out of our alienation. Things are looking up because there's a real alternative to carrying through in life shackled to our own broken ways. That is good news. There's a kingdom at hand. And so we open this week to a passage that shows us yet again how things are looking up and taking shape in still more ways that signal that the gospel is on the move. Let's consider together what we're reading here today. Here's Jesus teaching, it says, at a synagogue in Capernaum. I've actually been to that synagogue, or at least the later version of it that stands there now on top of the one that Jesus would have been in. This was a very small sort of village on the northwestern shore of the Sea of Galilee. These were normal everyday townsfolk. And if you can imagine the scene that's being described for us here, one of the very first things that Jesus would have experienced is some random voice, some random stranger in the crowd interrupting him from what he's doing. That voice is angry and antagonistic. It must have been like one of those experiences we've all had, out of nowhere, for no apparent reason, where you find yourself on the receiving end of what feels like an assault. It's a wall, a barrage of negativity. If you've ever been there before, you know what that feels like. There's a visceral kind of reaction that comes with that, and the only words that come up at the time are something like, ah. Do you know that feeling? One minute Jesus is teaching, and in the snap of a finger, what do you have to do with us, Jesus? Are you here to destroy? Mark narrates for us what Jesus is experiencing in the moment. This is a disturbed human being. This is a person with some profound inner turmoil, and in this moment, the power of that inner turmoil is being translated into this external aggression. Mark tells us that this is a person with a quote-unquote unclean spirit. That's putting it mildly. Unclean. Unclean? There's a war going on in there. This is a person in agony. He cries out. It's as if the agony inside of this person is bleeding out into the world, and the antagonism that Jesus is confronted with seems merely an extension of this condition that this person is embattled with. Yes, he is troubled, ill, embattled, possessed by something that's foreign to his truest self. However you want to think about it. But the really important thing about it is that whatever is going on the inside of him is serving both as the source of his own internal suffering, as well at the same time as the thing that's putting people who love him and who might help him at a distance. I think it's important to understand what Jesus is being faced with here, because there's more to the good news here than just a miracle or a healing. Do you know what it is to love a person that doesn't want to be loved? Maybe you've had the difficulty of experiencing loving a person that doesn't know how to be loved. This man that Jesus encounters here is a man with a battle raging on the inside that easily transforms itself into an external battle as well. So it's not just about the healing. For Jesus to be a bringer of the gospel here, he's got to not only fix what ails him, but love him past his antagonism. Thing that he suffers from is the very thing that wants to keep Jesus at bay, you see. So Jesus is going to have to love him past his pain in order to really work the healing. Let me tell you, that is good news. That's an optimistic prognosis for the one who's got the battle raging inside. Jesus is going to love him past the pain. He's going to love You, through and despite the pain, even when that pain is taking casualties. It is good news. This is a love that doesn't stop short when the going gets tough. It's good news that Jesus doesn't just refer the sick at heart to a hospital bureaucracy, but loves them. The gospel on the move is a healing love. And frankly, church, it's more love than any one of us can muster on our own. Everything that comes before this passage becomes relevant here because situations like these call for a people to love with a love that's not just their own. We are called to love with God's love. We're called to be baptized into that love and to align our life within that love and to be formed in that love of God through our discipleship so that we can heal hearts and mend lives with a love that is more than our own. 1 John in the New Testament uses the word agape in Greek to describe the love that we learn to love with that comes from elsewhere. Agape in 1 John is something that comes from God. It is the very essence of God. And in 1 John, it is something that Christ's disciples are called to be formed in and to learn from, depend on, and carry out into the world as a capacity to love that's way beyond what you or I have in the tank on our own. Christian formation, according to John, is in no small part about going beyond our own eros, our human capacity to love, and loving with agape love, with God's love, like Jesus is doing here. Loving this man beyond his brokenness until his brokenness starts to look like newness of life. This passage isn't just about Jesus, church. You and I are called as part of our own growth in Christian discipleship to learn to love with a love that's beyond what we have in the tank. We're called to love beyond the brokenness, love into healing. The love of God is healing for the heart that's torn in every which way. And that kind of love is the gospel on the move. Things are looking up, church. Things are looking up for a world with a people loving like that. That's a ripple in the surface of the water. And you know, the words of that old spiritual are good news when they remind us that God is going to trouble the waters. He's going to trouble the waters with love. So may your hearts be transformed and formed in God's agape love, people of God. It is God's life rippling through you. It is healing and good news for the world. It is the gospel on the move. And so let all of God's people affirm it loudly and confidently in their homes, in front of their computer screens and televisions. Let all God's people say, Amen.